Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 30. This week, we've got interviews with Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Brad Allen and infielder-outfielder David Harris. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the All-Star Break Supplement. Both are available at smashwords.com and together provide you with the most comprehensive coverage of the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. The handbook contains profiles of over 250 minor league players in the Blue Jays system, along with information about following all of the Jays' minor league affiliates. It's available for just $7.99 US, and it's not too late to get in on the action. The All-Star Break supplement is available for only $2 US and provides updates on the Jays' prospects as well as complete rosters, new player profiles, and coverage of the 2014 draft and international signing period. Stay tuned for my interview with Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Brad Allen, in which he talks about his road to the Blue Jays system through independent baseball and the Arizona Diamondbacks system. Then you'll hear from David Harris, an exciting and versatile player for the Lugnuts this season. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Brad Allen of the Lansing Lugnuts. And Brad is, well, he's a starting pitcher, and he's scheduled to go tomorrow for the Lugnuts. Welcome to the podcast, Brad.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I think your backstory is one of the more interesting ones. You've come to not only the Blue Jays organization, but the Lugnuts a little bit differently than some of these players. Can you tell our listeners about, your winding road?
It all started after college. I graduated from Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas in 2011, and I didn't end up getting drafted, so I wanted to keep playing professionally. Thought I could help an affiliate out, thought I could make my way through an organization. So that 2011, I signed with the Rockford Riverhawks of the Frontier League, finished out 2011, came back for 2012. Actually got released the last day of spring training. Had a really good spring training, felt really good, felt strong. Thought I'd get picked up right away. Actually had 3 months off in baseball. Was looking to get picked up, just things didn't happen. It's a tough world out there. There's a lot of good players, a lot of good pitchers everywhere. That's what people don't realize. It's not just affiliated. There's a ton of hungry ball players out in indie ball, and you just never know. There's crazy stories from everywhere, guys that have been in the big leagues. And like I said, you never know. So I actually had a college teammate who was playing on another indie ball team. And he said, hey, come throw for our coach. And this was August, so there was about a month left of the season. So I was like, hey, I'll give it a try, whatever. Went through for him. They liked me, signed me, and had a couple outings out of the bullpen. Ended up being a starter. We ended up winning like 13 of our last 14 games, made the playoffs, and made it to the championship round in the Frontier League, and I ended up going 7-1 with like a 1 ERA. So, man, just got a hot streak at the right time, and got me noticed by a lot of affiliated clubs. Ended up working out with assistant to the GM, the Arizona Diamondbacks, that winter in December, and ended up signing, I think it was December 11th of 2012, and then showed up for spring training with Arizona 2013 in Scottsdale. Ended up getting placed in South Bend, and then finished my 2013 season in High A in Visalia, California for the Diamondbacks organization, and then came back to spring training in 2014 with them, had a good spring, started out back out in Low A with South Bend, got 4 starts, got released. I actually, when you get released, you don't know what's next, you don't know what's going to come of it, but talked to a lot of people, and they all told me to keep throwing. Really, there's no reason for me to release this and that. You know, here it's all hearsay to me. I just, you know, wanted to know if I was going to get another opportunity. You just don't know when you're out there and you're back and scratching and clawing again, trying to get affiliated. So I ended up signing back with my independent team and went to spring training with them in May and made one start for them during the regular season on May 15th, and then I got picked up by Toronto May 22nd. So.
Now, just so the listeners know, that the screams and the shouts in the background are coming from inside the clubhouse where a lot of the ballplayers are watching the finals for the Little League World Series. So clearly some interesting things are happening, and they're getting behind their team, I guess. Did you ever play in the Little League World Series growing up?
No, I didn't, but I actually have some interest in this game too, because the one team's in it from Illinois, Chicago, and that's closest to me, so I've kind of been following them, and never played in that Little League sanction, that type of league, but of course everybody's always interested, and it's just a cool thing to watch in the clubhouse with the guys.
Now going back to sort of your story, can you tell the listeners what it might be like for a player who gets released, and you know, as you said, you had 3 months after being released by that first independent league team, until you were picked up by the second team. You know, what's that like? What's going through your head? What are you trying to do to sort of stay in shape? And, you know, just, you know, tell us. Tell us, what, you know, what you can at least.
I mean, it's hard because, you know, you feel like you're throwing well and you did everything that you could, you know, work as hard as I can. But, I mean, it's almost like you almost look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I guess I got to work harder. You know, I guess I got to work harder, and a lot of it really is just getting an opportunity, just a chance, and you know, that's all you can ask for. You know, I put in so much hard work. You put in so much hard work the off season, the in between starts, everything, and you know, to be able to get a chance just anywhere, even in indie ball, affiliated ball. You just want as many people to see you as possible. One eye could catch you, and they could say, hey, you know, we like this guy. Let's put him in a good situation. See what happens. You get put in that situation, you succeed. You build your confidence, and I think I get a lot of my confidence from all the work that I put in before even stepping on the field. So by the time I get on the field, you know, I know I'm ready. Doesn't matter who I'm playing against, you know, like I feel like I deserve to be there, and you know, that was always just a big driving factor for me, and that's just kind of how I was raised. So I guess it just shows in every day, showing up to the park and acting like a professional and just doing the little things.
Now, why don't we go back to, you know, one of the days that's probably the highlight of your career, where you threw a no-hitter, I think it was for the Silverhawks, the South Bend Silverhawks, last season. What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. I kind of caught a little hot streak at the end of last year. I had a really rough outing against Bowling Green. It was kind of the turning point. I didn't sleep the 5 days after that start. I was just like, man, I got to get back to what made me successful and just attacking and being aggressive and competing. And I think that was like right after the All-Star break last year. And then right after that, like I said, I went back to the basics, did towel drills, worked with my coaches on little things. Just, you know, through bottom line, just attack, go fastball in, out. And, you know, like I said, I got get a little hot, build momentum. And then, you know, it was just one of those nights, one of those perfect nights where, you know, you're hitting your spots. I think I walked like the third or fourth batter of the game, and it was some close pitches too, and other than that, just didn't give up a hit. And around the fifth inning, you know, you come in and you kind of look up at the scoreboard and you're like, wow, I haven't given up a hit yet, and you're kind of like, you know, I'm already halfway there, I got a good chance at this thing. And it's just one of those things, you're locked in, every ball you get back to you, it's just, you're a machine. You get back on the hill and whatever the catcher puts down, you throw. And it was just that night things were working, and it was one of those things, if I did miss with the pitch, it was hit right at somebody. Had a couple great plays. It's funny, I was just talking to South Bend's shortstop, Andrew Velasquez, and he was actually the guy who caught my last out last year playing second base. So, man, it was just a cool thing more than anything for the team too. When you throw in a no-hitter like that, it's almost like everybody comes together. It doesn't matter, you know. It's kind of like that for love of the game thing with Billy Chappell. You know, it doesn't matter if your team's grit, you know, the worst team in the league, the best team in the league. At that point, you feel like, you know, you're on top of the world, and it's kind of a cool feeling. And when the game through that, got the last out, I was actually battling my catcher back and forth, what to throw, fastball in, slider away. He was putting down slider away. I finally threw it. Me being stubborn, finally threw it, popped out to second, you know, threw my glove, gave my catcher a hug, and It was awesome. Got the water put on me, and it was just sweet. It's one of those things just cool, too, because you hear from everybody in the organization and guys you went to spring training with and guys you've been battling with and working hard with. And it's one of those moments that when it's all said and done, you'll really remember it. And my dad was there, too. Really cool. Gave him the ball after the game. So it's just one of those cool cool dates you always have circled.
And, I mean, that's a great story, and thanks for sharing it. And, you know, the other thing that I've sort of noticed about your career is that, you know, you found some, I guess, some struggles statistically, at least when you were promoted to, I think it was Visalia in the California League. And everything I've heard about that league is that it's kind of just like the kiss of death for pitchers. Can you tell our listeners, you know, what are the differences and what makes it such a tough league for pitchers?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, honestly, the stats can be really skewed. Like, you could talk to anybody in the league, and, like, one day you have a great outing. Like, I think my first outing, I went 6 innings, 8 Ks, no runs, 2 hits, you know, and you feel like you're on top of the world. And then my next outing, you go, like, 3 innings, 7 earned, this, and it looks awful, you know, on the stat sheet. But, I mean, you didn't feel awful, you know. Like, when I went up there, my strikeout numbers went up, so, like, it wasn't like I was a completely different pitcher or anything, you know. It's just one of those things. The parks are really small. The wind blows out, but I mean, you can't make any excuses either. You know, if you make your pitches and, you know, you stay on the corners and stuff, you know, you're going to get outs. But the mistakes that you make are just, I think, a little bit magnified in that league, because I think it's just a mental thing too. The hitters feel very comfortable because they've been told it's a hitters league, and the pitchers feel very tense because they've been told it's a hitters league. So you have to separate yourself and think, hey, it's still baseball. I still got to go fastball out, fastball in, changeup, curveball, slider, you know, when the time is right, and you'll get your outs. And, you know, I think if I would have had more time there, I would have, you know, progressed fine. But I can't say anything wrong about my time there. I got promoted ahead of a lot of other people, and I got a chance to see what it was like, and it was a great experience and a good learning experience for me.
Now, as a learning experience, I mean, would you take the, you know, I think – you know, I've watched a lot of minor league baseball at all kinds of different levels, from rookie ball all the way up to AAA. And from what I've seen, you know, the margins for error as you get into the higher levels get smaller and smaller. And maybe that's a way to prepare you for that eventuality in a league like the California League, where if you make a mistake, it just, you know, it's that much of a, you know, possible for a much bigger consequence from it. Is that sort of the way you feel, where that experience taught you that, you know, sometimes the margin of error is smaller than you'd like it to be?
Yeah. No, it definitely did. And it was just one of those things where you can't be afraid to throw any pitch in any situation. You know, just because you're behind 2-0 doesn't mean that you should just throw your fastball. And that helps a lot in that league, too. There's a lot of, you know, fastball hunting hitters. It's still A ball, so a lot of hitters are still working on approach and stuff. So little stuff like that really, really helps. And I see, when I was up there, I saw a lot of guys have success pitching behind, as opposed to, you know, the traditional, okay, here, you know, here, there, fastball heavy. So it's just little things like that. And I think that I've really implemented that more into my game this year, and worked on, you know, different changeup grip, worked on with my pitching coach, Vince Horseman, who's taught me a bunch. And I don't know, I feel, even though I'm not at that level, I feel like I am, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of the pitcher that I was at that time. And more than anything, it's just a confidence thing, you know. Once it hits you that you could get anybody out, I think that's when you can really start taking off to the next levels. Doesn't matter what level you're at. It's just the mindset of, hey, I can get this guy out.
Well, that brings me to sort of my last question, which is about, you know, your time here in Lansing, and what have you learned, and what have you, you know, what's the experience been like?
The experience has been awesome. Everybody with Toronto's, you know, welcomed me with open arms, and it's hard coming in. I mean, I was talking to my pitching coach. I've been on, you know, including spring training, all the different rosters I've been on. I mean, I've been on, you know, 5-6 different teams. You know, people, every day you step on the mound, there's someone new playing. So, you know, it's a little difficult in that, but you can't look at it like that, you know, because it's just another job. It's just, like I said, it's another time to throw in front of people, and used to, as long as you make your pitches, you're going to get your outs. And well, what was really awesome for me was when I did get hurt here, unfortunately, I got to rehab here, and I just got to learn from my pitching coach, Vince, and just kind of fine-tune a couple things. And I think it's just shown. My velocity's been up. My velocity's been more regular with fastball. He showed me a new changeup grip that I've really taken to and had given confidence to throw whenever. And, you know, we've been working on slider stuff, And, you know, every day I think it gets a little bit better just throwing. And just talking with him, even in between innings, I'll come in and say, hey, what did you see? What did, you know, little things, just little things that will help me get a cleaner inning the next inning, or help me next time that guy comes up, or just things for me to keep in mind. And that's been really nice. It's been just a, it's just been really smooth, I would say, as far as having a game plan every time we go out there, and then also working on stuff in between outings. It's, I don't know, it's been a cool experience, and, I've learned a lot, and I'm really grateful.
Well, we're definitely glad to have you here in Lansing, and as your numbers have shown, you've gone out there and you've pitched deep into games, at least five innings just about every time you've gone out for the Lugnuts, and there was one game you struck out nine, I believe, in five innings, and you've been really one of the stabilizers on this pitching staff with some young guys, too.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching staff is, you know, it's changed, you know, drastically since I got here, and it's actually pretty cool to see. We got a lot of really good arms. I mean, all the guys, but right now it seems like we kind of hit a groove where, hey, our starter will go out there now. He'll give you a five, six. Hey, if we're lucky and we got the pitch count, even seven. And it just makes it easier for everyone, you know, when you know your role, not only as a starter, but even the bullpen guys. And, you know, that's the whole point for me as a starter, is setting the game up for the reliever, too. You, not only do you want to get your outs, but you want to make sure you make it as easy for the relievers when they come in the game, too. So, I don't know. I mean, we've won some games, we've lost some games, but I think if you look at our pitching stats from the last 2 months or so, it's completely different. And I mean, that's what you want to see, progress. And everyone from the day that I got here, from the day now, it's like everyone's confidence level is through the roof compared to what it was. And I mean, that's what the minor leagues are about, you know, development and, you know, seeing who can make it to the next level and seeing who could consistently get hitters out. And it's been fun to watch, you know, as the months have gone along. It's been even more fun to show up to the ballpark every day.
Well, we're going to leave it there. That's Brad Allen, the starting pitcher for the Lansing Lugnuts. Fortunately, I won't have a chance to see you tomorrow. I'll be driving all the way back to Toronto. But we'll definitely direct our listeners to your baseball reference page and to keep track online with the Lansing Lugnuts, listening to the radio broadcast by Jesse Goldberg-Strassler and Trey Wilson. Thanks a lot for joining us, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by David Harris. Davis is a multi-position player here for the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, David, let's start first with this year so far. It's how do you think it's been going for you?
I think it's been going pretty well. You know, it's baseball. There's ups and downs, and the main thing is just coming back the next day and trying to stay positive as much as you can and just having fun.
So can you tell us, you say there's ups and downs, can you tell us anything about, you know, any downs that you've learned from or any ups that you that have been particularly high?
Well, when it comes to that, I kind of want to say, such as you want to keep that even keel and always trying to stay positive for the most part, because, you know, this game can beat you up, and then again, and you know, you feel like you're the best player on the field. And then the main thing when it comes to just playing this game is just keeping your head up regardless on what the outcome is, and really taking your preparation serious.
Now, you're with the Blue Jays organization. You were drafted in the, don't remember which round, the 12th, 13th?
No, it was late, man. It was late. Everyone gets confused on
that times, but no, I was a low round guy, so I mean, it's okay. So it doesn't really matter as long as you get that opportunity, and you know, you get another chance to put a uniform on your back and go out there and just play and do what you've done since you've been a kid. So
now you're a Southern guy, and you're drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays, and your first playing experience with the Blue Jays was in Vancouver last year. So would you say that was a culture shock, or what, you know, what did you make of that experience?
Well, yeah, it was definitely a culture shock. It was the opposite side of, you know, the of North America. So I mean, it was a big adjustment, but I got comfortable with the guys, and you know, you got to learn about them and learn how Clayton was and so on and so forth. But man, I enjoyed it, man. Vancouver was a blast. You know, at first it was It was nerve-wracking, of course, because you didn't know what to expect. You know, it's pro ball, but when you come to look at it, it's still baseball regardless.
Now, I know a lot of people in the Blue Jays organization. I've talked to a lot of guys who've played for the Vancouver Canadiens. They all speak highly of the city, but it's also a club that's won the last three seasons. What's that like, being a part of a winning team right away?
Well, that was awesome, because the fact that I know that me myself is a winner, you know, being a part of that was like, man, this is awesome. I'm back to being a part of something that I'm used to, you know what I mean? So that was pretty cool, being a part of Vancouver Canadiens.
Now, you also got to go back there this year, and you started off your season there, and I don't think you were there very long, and then they sent you over here to Lansing. So what was that like, actually having to move levels in the middle of a season?
Well, I honestly thought it was pretty cool. You know, I was so used to the guys that we've, you know, been such as, like, an extended and, you know, just with my grinding buddies, you know what I mean, when it comes to that, and hanging out with them, and all of a sudden you just take off and you're with another crew. But the funny thing is, most of these guys I've already played with, so I mean, it was back to where I was basically from last year. So it was cool to hang with those, be with these guys again. So
now here in Lansing, what do you notice is different, or you know, what are the things that you've really, you know, seen that are differences or the same, or you know, between the environment that you're playing in here and what it was in Vancouver?
The biggest difference here is everyone just cleans up their act. I mean, basically, like, they're a little bit more polished than, of course, Vancouver. You know, the middle guys are a little more polished when it comes to the catcher, the pitcher, and, you know, the center fielder, and, of course, short and second as well. So, I mean, if you kind of think about it, the middle is the strong point of – it's basically the foundation of your team. So that right there, noticing that those guys are better the higher you go.
Now, you do play second base, so you're a part of that middle. You know, what have you been working on defensively, especially when you're playing, you know, second base and third base and outfield? And, you know, are there things that you're able to work on, especially in the midst of a long season?
Well, you know, try to stick to the basics and really just your feet work, man. I mean, I would say your feet work is probably the most important thing, because your feet work is different from the outfield, from third base and second base. It's all different, and you got to make the adjustment as quick as you can. And I would say that when you're taking work from second base, is mainly just working on double plays. Double plays is my thing. You know, working on your feeds, and such as, you know, your feet work is correct. So
now, do you ever talk to some of your teammates who do a lot of multi-position playing, like Jason Leblebijian or Justin Atkinson? Both have moved around a lot from position to position. Do you ever pick their brains?
Yeah, I do. I definitely pick Lebs, man. I mean, Lebs a really good defender, and me and him talk about feet work more than anything. If your feet work's good, then, I mean, everything else takes place. So, I mean, as long as you keep your feet moving, regardless on how hard the ball's hit, and if it's slow, regardless on what the speed of the ball is towards you, you have a higher percentage on fielding the baseball and funneling the ball and making a good strong throw.
Now, we've been talking a lot about you know, fielding that part of the game, but let's talk about the hitting part of the game. You've had quite a bit of success here in Lansing and in the Midwest League. What are you looking for when you go up to the bat? I know Steve Springer's here. He's a guy that a lot of people have you know, taken a lot of advice from. But what are you looking for when you get up to hit, especially? I don't think you played last night against Kubitsa, but he was a tough guy. So when you see some of these tough pitchers, what are you looking for?
Well, man, just something out over the plate to get you something that you can drive right back up the middle. Mainly just saying what Steve Springer preaches is just hitting the ball hard, getting a pitch that you can do to just hit the ball hard, man. I mean, because you can only control on such as just hitting the ball hard. You can't control where it goes or how hard you're going to hit it, you know, but in your mind, if you go up there expecting to line out, I mean, there's a higher percentage of a chance for you to at least hit something hard, because, I mean, when it comes to hitting, I mean, you got to fall in love with hitting the ball hard, you know, because that's what I look forward to when I go up to the plate, just going up there, find a good pitch, get a good pitch to hit, and hit it hard.
And is there a particular location that you're looking for the pitch?
Out half of the play. I mean, that's my approach. And then when they come inside, just react to it. So that's my approach. Get a pitch that's out of the plate and drive it back to right center, right back up the middle. You know, so that's what helps me, really.
Now, is there anything that you've experienced here? Like, what are, you know, some of the more fun moments of the game? Is there any experiences that come to mind about teammates, coaches?
I've noticed with the guys, you know, we also are trying to, we fight for each other, we play for each other. That's something that's wasn't used to. I mean, such as when it comes to pro ball, you know what I mean? They say, oh, pro ball has to be like this and that, everyone for themselves. But no, and I've noticed with this group of guys that, man, that we stick together regardless and are doing it for the boys. That's how we say it. So I think that part alone is a lot of fun.
And is there, you know, are there, this team has a very wide age group of people. You've got some college guys like yourself. You've got some guys who have, you know, are from Latin America. You've got some guys who were drafted out of high school, have only been in pro ball for a couple of years. And they're still, you know, teenagers, some of them. You know, is there anything that, you know, goes on there? You know, is there a different dynamic with some of the older guys and some of the younger guys, or does everyone get along?
Yeah, everyone gets along for the most part, but I mean, there's sometimes we got to remind the younger guys on what to do, and you know, like, this is how it should be done. And us older guys, we have to be the examples for them, and that's all we can really do when it comes to the younger guys, is just be an example, and hopefully that they can learn by watching. And if not, then just do the best you can, be the best teammate that you can by helping them out. So that's what, at least that's what I try to do.
Now, it's been a long season. We're getting to the end of August here, and do you have anything that you're looking forward to doing, you know, in the off season and when you get home?
Well, I was going to go back to school. I plan on going back to school at least during the winter time, but it's going to be tough for me at the beginning in the fall semester because I'm going to Instructs. So, just to work with my dad and keep picking his brain and go from there, man, really.
Well, that sounds definitely like a good thing to do in the off season, and we wish you the best of luck. That's David Harris, third baseman, second baseman, outfielder for the Lansing Lugnuts.
Thank you so much.
That's it for episode number 30 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Brad Allen and David Harris for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Jays From Away. Come on back soon and go Jays go. Raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise up your hands.